Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying eyes attired.
You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
3 to 4 hours of The Men's Room radio program live. Download the radio.com app. Our question, what have you made, created, or built from scratch? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Eric. Welcome to The Men's Room.
Hola.
Hola.
Well, let's see. I'll start at the beginning here. So I was in college my sophomore year, and I had kind of a crazy idea in the back of my head, and I took this elective class using these small computer chips called microcontrollers. And the whole object of the class was to kind of learn how to use these things, program them, and get them to do various tasks and that sort of stuff. So I built this little experiment at home where I was growing lettuce on fog. So there's no soil, no dirt. There's just lettuce growing in the air, and the roots are kind of hanging in this fog and being fed this nutrient-rich fog while it's sitting there. And I built a data logger, which basically is fancy for an environmental sensor. It just looks at, like, light, humidity, temperature, barometric pressure, all that stuff. And then off of this experiment, I worked over the next 4 years to develop a technology that is currently not released, but I've been working on it on the side, patenting it and refining it and that sort of thing. And this is all when I was down in Southern Oregon, and I've been working to move it up here to the Seattle area so I could launch the technology.
Is it like air lettuce?
I'm sorry?
Is it like air lettuce?
Fog lettuce, Miles.
Fog lettuce?
Fog lettuce.
Kind of.
You could call it fog lettuce.
It's modified into now it kind of spun off into its own thing, and it is now a three-dimensional aeroponic farm inside of a 40-foot shipping container.
And so this is big time.
Yeah. So I've been working on this thing for quite a while, and right now, my last runs of production, I'm able to produce an equivalent of a half of an acre of standard, like, basil inside of one of these shipping containers. And so my production on an acre, because these containers can be spread out and you've got spacing and you can stack them and that sort of thing, like a traditional farm can do about 20,000 pounds on an acre, and my estimates right now are several million pounds per acre.
Can you do fog weed?
I could, but I did not tool that direction.
We believe you.
Sure, yeah,
we believe
you. I just keep growing that lettuce.
So who would be most interested in this technology? Obviously, farmers don't want it. Yeah, so,
but if you're in Alaska and you want to grow lettuce all year round, feasibly this is the way to do it, right?
Oh, absolutely. And not just like in Alaska and cold climates, but you also have to think about, like, Pacific Islanders, folks that are in desert or arid areas. And the fact is, in this country, in this wonderful United States, most of the food that we eat, salads, lettuce, that sort of stuff, come from, on average, 1,500 miles away. So unless it's truly, like, local, grown local, you're getting stuff that's grown on a large farm and then being shipped in.
Do you solar panel the top so that they're self-sufficient, so that you could just take one of these and plop it down someplace and it would be able to be powered on its own?
Not currently. That is in the works. There's a lot of things that are still on deck that, you know, are kind of go-to-market things, like solar panels and, you know, filtration and that sort of stuff, like recirculation or like a clean room that you can put on it so you're not contaminating the crop by bringing in things in your clothes.
Okay, so let me ask you this. We have some comments are coming in, and are sensible comments. It says, could you grow food in space? Could you do, like, for the future Mars mission? Would this be something they would be interested in?
It is possible, but what you run into when you're talking about water in space is you have this pesky thing called gravity that, you know, when you start spraying or aerosoling any liquid, it tends to clump and
Right.
Do weird things. So in space without a gravity field would be a problem. But if there was artificial gravity of some kind, then sure, yeah, this technology would work great.
So on Mars, it might work, right? It's about one-third the gravitational pull. You could adjust for that just knowing that you do the measurements. But in space, water forms an orb, and it,
You're telling me I could pour out a Coca-Cola in space and just drink Coke bubbles as they float through the air?
It would eventually coalesce into one big Coke bubble.
And what, do you just suck it? Like,
yeah, you just suck on it, man.
You suck on the Coke bubble?
You just suck on
like,
the Coke bubble.
Like, could I pass you my Coke bubble? Could I throw it over to you and then you could take a hit off
I'm not sure what happens if you hit it. I don't know if it would stick to your hand, but I mean, yeah, you just suck it down.
Just kind of floating around, like, just take a bite out.
You ever seen the astronauts do that with water? They'll, like, squeeze their water bottle, water. Right? And there's, like, a big bowl of water floating, and they come up and they suck it down. Which is probably the most sexual thing they've ever done on the
space. There's too many carbonated beverages in space. Not enough, anyway.
I don't know what would happen.
That's
right?
What I'm saying.
Under pressure, now you're in zero. I don't know. I don't know if like, you open a Coke and it blows out of there.
Could it make it up there? Well, I guess, right, because the humans don't explode.
No, they don't.
No.
If they did, we'd stop doing it.
What have you made, created, or built from scratch? 844-999-0.
These cans will never survive.
Well, some
he
explode.
He hates these cans.
Hello, Brandon. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Hey, so what I make from scratch, I make a lot of, like, costumes for various cosplays and stuff. Out of like a lot of scrap materials, mostly Legend of Zelda cosplays, because that's like my biggest passion. But
that's a jam.
So my one thing that I've done a lot of is I make a full suit of armor, like multiple plates and everything, completely out of like a plastic tote. Like I'll go to Walmart and just find a $20 plastic tote, take a heat gun, an X-Acto knife. Start drawing it out, cutting it out, grabbing some rivets, drill holes, and I'll start putting the whole piece together. The corners are great for like leg guards and stuff like that.
And it's not nearly as heavy.
Oh yeah. No. Like a full suit of metal armor is incredibly heavy. I would like to make it, but
how hot do they get?
It does get pretty hot, especially since I do line the insides with like some EVA foam and whatnot, so that way I'm not just like having plastic directly against my chest and whatnot. So by the time I'm done with, say, like a convention like SakuraCon, my entire tunic is just like drenched in sweat, and it's gross.
That's sexy. That is sexy. Tunic.
Do you do this just for you, or do you do it for your friends? Do you charge them money, or how does that work out?
So not only do I do the armor stuff, but I also do like woodworking stuff. So I make large great swords and whatnot, various prop weapons out of wood. Right now, I'm trying to get myself set up in a position to where I can have like a workshop, to where I can develop a process, make it repeatable, and then sell my work. Because I'm not quite comfortable with doing commissions just yet, but I would love to.
How much money on average would you get for a commission? Like, what's the general ballpark for that?
So for like a great sword, like the one that I would make, like I've seen people sell lesser quality ones for like $200 to $300 for one. Especially if they're like prop weapons, like I could probably make build one up and sell it for maybe like between $200 and $500, depending on what materials how detailed I make it.
Does anyone ever run into, like, copyright trouble, right? So, like, the band Kiss, they trademark the makeup on their faces. Potentially, you can get in trouble depending what you're doing. But if you're making money selling something that you're advertising as well, like a Zelda sword or something, I mean, are there any cease and desist? Anyone you know get into trouble for that?
No. Because I don't remember what the whole legal thing about the whole legal thing when it comes to cosplay. But, like, I have friends that do art commissions of characters. They also do costume commissions because they're really great at selling. I'm not super great at selling.
Okay. Makes sense. Yeah, I was just curious. I don't know. I mean, look, it's weird how it works, right? Like, a lot of bands get really, really upset, obviously, if you bootleg the show. A band like the Grateful Dead encourage you to do it, and they end up with this massive following. Like, share our music, share our art, right? So there's just always different ways of looking at it. I would think if I'm in the Marvel Universe or the video game universe, like, these conventions are massive. Anytime someone wants to willingly dress up like something, I don't have a problem with it, but there's always depends. That other side where people go, hey, you're making money, you called it a Zelda sort. Like, dude, there's... Right, they made a couple $100, but they're spreading... Look, if you want to bootleg our show and then sell it to someone, please do.
You could be a tribute band. It's the same thing. Like, look, right. You might not sound exactly like the band you're going out and doing, but you're spreading the word. And people know it's a tribute band.
Right, but some bands freak out about that.
Some do, some don't. Stupid, and it would depend. Like, you brought up Kiss. Well, Kiss has a cruise.
Right.
That they've been doing for probably a handful of years. They've had mini Kiss on that cruise.
Of course.
But they're sanctioned. Their mini
they
Kiss.
Are officially sanctioned by the band.
Exactly.
At some places, you can be a tribute band, but if you don't wear all the makeup, they don't want you. I swear to God. I was just talking to somebody the other day. Like, is there a tribute band? But they were like, oh, we don't know. But like, some places were like, well, if you're going to do the tribute, you got to come, like, geared up.
Yeah, you got to look like, yeah,
that's fair. All right.
By the way, we got an answer to, if you bring a Coca-Cola into space, all right?
Coca-Cola in space.
Coca-Cola in space. I'll stop there. But you open it up. What do you think happens? We
explodes?
Are in zero gravity. No, there's no fizz at all. All carbonated beverages are flat in space.
Oh,
that's
way.
Why nobody takes
so
it.
Right.
Would you
just
him drink beer
soda.
In space?
I mean, you could. It's just some flat-ass beer.
Who wants a flat anything?
The English.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay.
Tell you what, those flat beers go down quick.
Hey, mate, I like drinking a spice.
It's room temperature.
Are you saying that the beer in England is flat?
Yeah.
It is.
Dude, yeah. I mean, like,
I did not know that.
Yeah, when you pour a beer in the States, right, you watch the tap, right? Yeah. This nice little head. They pour a beer. Like, there is no head.
No way.
It's filled to the top.
Is it still tasty?
Keep in mind, tasty is a subjective word. I'll give you an example. Years ago, I worked at a restaurant. The chef wanted me to try something. I don't remember what it was, but I popped some in my mouth, and I said, that's tasty. He's a Southern guy from North Carolina. He goes, hey, man, dog ass is tasty. Is it good or bad? So, yes, the beers that are tasty,
Miles,
for sure.
You'll be fine. I was fine.
You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Our question, what have you made, created, or built from scratch? And here come those emails from the Men's Room at mensroomlive.com.
You've got
Hello, gentlemen and the lady. My wife has turned me into a pancake and waffle snob. When we got married, I didn't know she did not allow pancake mix in the house. She's always had pancakes, waffles from scratch. She made them for me. I have never looked back. We enjoy pancakes and waffles every weekend or two. I haven't even bought store-bought pancake mix in 6 years. I'm never going back. There's a big difference. It is amazing. Rock on, y'all. Love the sausage. That from Nick.
He said he's not a waffle snob. Doesn't that sound like one of the houses in Harry Potter? The house of waffle snob.
I'd like to have one of our sausages with his wife's waffles.
More pancakes.
I think I see what you're saying there.
Back in 2002, after watching the sexual harassment panda episode of South Park, I decided I wanted to be him for Halloween. So I started with an Easter egg basket. From there, it was metal baking bowls, duct tape, toilet paper. I used empty tape rolls, cut in half of the ears. My mom helped sew all the fur material to finish the head. It looked great, and I got more compliments from that costume than any other ever. I even had a tape recorder type of thing to play the sexual harassment panda song he sang in the show. This was way before smartphones. That from Morgan. Guys, I've been looking for a bar for my gazebo for a while. The ones I saw on Craigslist were either way overpriced or garbage, so I thought I'd just make one myself. I found a video on YouTube and copied the bar almost exactly. It is cedar, and I covered the countertop and bar with a resin to protect it and give it a wet look. Thanks to the interwebs, I have an awesome bar. Here's a pic. That from our buddy Captain Homebrew.
Hey, everybody, look at that picture. Yeah, aren't you envious?
That's amazing. Guys, a couple years ago, I wanted one of those liquor advent calendars they sell now. Well, my husband surprised me with this awesomeness. It gives again, again, and again every year. It fits too many bottles, so we each fill in the others for each other. Basically, this advent thing looks like a big birdhouse, but has individual little doors like a cuckoo clock for each day. And you open it up, and there's a little mini in there. So it was a handmade one. Guys, I built a supercharged wood fire out of a scrap scratch. The unit on the front is a blower. The wood is fed into the side hatch, rocket stove style. It cooks a pizza in about 3 to 4 minutes. It basically is a keg.
It looks like a keg. It
also doubles as a pizza oven, hot oven.
That's fantastic.
It is.
That is.
Guys, a few things I made around my house. Adirondack chairs made from cedar for us and two for my mom. Oldest boys has them now. Laundry basket made from hemlock, office desk and sewing table with drawers. Multi-level terracing made with jumbo nursery stones. Each one weighs about 40 to 50 pounds. I got about 50 plus pallets. Chicken coop and firewood storage. Now I'm rebuilding a 1991 Corolla All-Track four-wheel drive.
Damn.
Bought a parts car and made one out of two. That from our buddy Scott. Guys, last year a friend of mine found an old guitar body and a short-scale bass guitar neck in an attic somewhere. Well, my wife has always wanted to play bass, but her arms are way short. So I took those two pathetic beat-up parts, stripped 8 layers of paint off the body, gathered the parts, and built her a bass guitar from scratch. That from Dave.
Damn.
Guys, my 11-year-old daughter made an entire fursuit for furry conventions, and I made her. She is awesome. I did not help her at all. Attached is a picture of her handmade work, which looks great. That from Kelly, known as Mama Muffin. For an 11-year-old...
Mama Muffin?
Come up with a costume like that.
Yeah.
Looked pretty spectacular.
What did she sign that? Mom what?
Mama Muffin.
Oh, all right.
I'm going to get some Mama Muffins tonight.
I think that's how she got the Mama part.
I think we shouldn't make that sexual. My mom makes something called Mom McMuffins. They're delicious.
That's Mom McMuffins. That's the Irish whore. I'm talking about this woman.
Your mom.
Mama Muffins.
What's your Mom McMuffin?
English muffin.
With a bit of slice of butter inside.
Oh. A slice of pork roll and American cheese.
All right, so it's basically like an egg McMuffin.
Yeah, we call Mom McMuffin.
Mom McMuffin. Guys, we've been fans of the morning show and the men's room for 4 years. We listen to it 3 to 4 times a week while traveling back and forth to a children's hospital where Ben was diagnosed with leukemia. You guys helped make that travel less stressful and laughable at one of the worst times in my family's life. So thank you so much. Having a big old Leroy Jenkins and some turtle love for Ben, who is 18 years old today, cured with blood cord transplant 4 years ago. That from Mom, Dad, and Connor. We love him.
Leroy Jenkins!
Only you people. Today, my wife, Marissa, turns 25. Could you please give her the birthday song of Your Penis Is Too Small and the sweet, nasty, dirty Germans talking about the other half of that tattoo? Thanks, guys. That from Caleb.
Yeah, I do not know what the other half of this tattoo might be, but I hope it is inside of you, because I plan to find it.
Yes. Yeah, we all know what the other half of the tattoo is. It's up Father the Jean Shorts.
But tell us, I want to give a 40th birthday shout-out to the love of my life, the red-bearded stud Brett. He is a kind and gentle man, a great father, and a lover alike, despite his rogue appearances. Ooh. He is hung like an ox, and I am forever thankful for the way he loves me.
The way he loves me.
He's hung like an ox. I'm forever thankful.
With his ox dingle.
He loves me gently with that giant hog. This year it sucked. It's been a country song. I will not go into details, but we're avid listeners, huge fans, and consistently attending Pain in the Grass Live Day and all the other badass sorays you guys host. I would love to hear the Dirty Germans talking about Brett's sexy, wonderful-smelling beard. Thanks, guys. That from Haley.
Yeah, it's wonderful smelling beard. Yes, Haley, you smell fantastic.
Yeah, it's together, it's, you know. So we have one giant beard. It's one big one.
Yeah.
One regular size one.
Yeah, does he have a beard on his ox parts?
Bartolo's a woman. I'd like to wish my friend Kristen Nicole Martinez me and pronounce popcorn a happy birthday. How about a ladies man fish sandwich, an Alan Thicke O lookout, and a big old Leroy Jenkins. That from Gurr the Red Bull guy.
Can I buy you a fish sandwich?
Uh-oh, lookout.
Let's do this. Leroy Jenkins!
Please give your warmest, hottest, dirty German happy birthday to my twin brother Jeff. We are 45 today. Thanks, guys. That from Scott, and I'll take a fish sandwich, please.
Fish sandwich?
Yeah, congratulations. I've never been with twins, but tonight that will change. Lucky you.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the funnest things of Oktoberfest is hanging out with the twins.
Yeah, we will call ourselves the Three Musketeers and cross our swords.
Yeah. So, no, so be four of us.
Guys, today is my good friend Double D's birthday. He continues to be a great friend now for 34 years, and today he is 54. Maybe 53 or 55, I don't know. He took me to Live Day this year. Great time, and I really love the Men's Room Gold. You guys put your name on the best beer ever. So how about a Your Penis Is Too Small and the Dirty Germans pondering how he got his nickname Double D? Thanks, guys. That from the Recycle Hauler.
Yeah, I don't know how he got his nickname Double D, because of his big moves.
Yeah, it was that one time of Oktoberfest when he put two sausages in his mouth at once. We all said Double D. Seems dangerous. He said, I love these sausage.
Yeah, he looks like meat walrus.
Yeah.
And Bajolos, today's
my
mother.
I need on my hands. Okay.
My mother Mary, 63rd birthday. She works with the elderly and is the most awesome mom a creepy ginger could ever ask for. So how about a Your Penis Is Too Small and the Dirty Germans telling her what they'd like to do with her to make her birthday the best ever? Thanks, guys. That from your creepy neighborhood ginger.
Yeah, you created the ginger. Tonight I'm going to bring you some black pepper. Because it is spicy and will hurt your mouth.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't know what we could do so freaky. You got the creepy little ginger as a child. They will just do something regular.
Yeah. Your uterus has seen what it has seen. A creepy ginger. There's nothing we can do.
Yeah, it's like the devil himself came out of there.
Yeah. I bet he didn't even cry when he was born.
The guy called himself creepy twice.
Yeah, he climbed out on his own and flew out the window.
Yeah.
All right, guys, here we go.
Happy, happy, happy birthday. Happy, happy, happy birthday. Happy, happy, happy birthday to you, to you, to you.
Yaz and Dirty Germans brought to you by Men's Room Original Sausage. Available through Uli's World Famous Sausage, mensroomlive.com, and other fine retailers. Mmm, Schweinefleisch.
Good Alexis here, guys. As far as a bad haircut, worst haircut I ever had was one my mother gave me. I wanted a Batman symbol shaved in the back of my head. So she used a stencil and traced it with a permanent marker. Not realizing the permanent marker would stain my scalp, she used lighter fluid then to try to remove the permanent marker. Needless to say, my scalp was burning for the rest of the night. Rock on. That from the Forest Dweller.
Wow.
Guys, I have an idea.
Uh-oh.
Have a contest to host a men's room party or a live show in the winning city, and each of the city's proceeds go to the local Fisher House in that area.
All right, not a bad idea.
Sounds great.
I'm down with that. Where do we go first?
We can go anywhere. Hell, I mean,
let's go to Rochester. We've been on to Rochester the longest.
Rochester sounds good to me.
Rochester, we're not coming during the winter. Mm-hmm. I live there. I know what's going on.
Guys, what took a while?
Yeah, go in the fall. I'm going to jump and try to break a table in Buffalo.
Okay, all right.
Guys, I spent 2 days on an Amtrak from Kentucky to Washington. We went through Illinois with a stop in Chicago for 6 hours, then on to Wisconsin, Minnesota, North Dakota, Montana, Iowa, with stops along the way to pick up more people. It felt like it took a week. The longest part was when we went through the Cascade Tunnel. When we stopped in Spokane, the conductor told us not to venture from the train station unless this was out of your last stop, because they couldn't guarantee our safety.
Wow.
The Spokane layover was 8 hours in the middle of the night. I flew back because it's a lot quicker. That from Jay. Long distance travel. Ola, the summer I turned 14, I went on a 63-day trip, starting in Eugene, going all around the U.S. and Canada, 80% by bus. One leg of the trip from Calgary to Ottawa took 2 days and 8 hours on a Greyhound. I visited over 40 states and provinces. The worst place was Pasco, Washington. That from Brack.
Damn.
And Momo. Abitulas, this is from a long, long time ago. The question, what was disgusting? Well, last summer I was going through a body cleanse, eating right, working out consistently.
Well, my body apparently didn't like the lack of Taco Bell and punished me with uncontrollable diarrhea. My girlfriend and I were getting ready to take a shower one morning, and once clothing was off, I had to release one. Well, I learned that day to never trust it. I had loose stuff all over the floor. I told my girlfriend to not step backward and get in the shower. She had not seen my crap on the floor and proceeded to step in it barefoot.
Oh!
Still with her. Now it's a joke the entire family knows about. Rock on, bitches. That from Jared.
Yes, friends, it's time once again for Sit and Spin. Let's gather around the old radio and listen to some swellerific new music.
Oh, look who it is! It's me. Ron Castle is enjoying a much-deserved vacation today.
That's what I said, Ryan Castle's off.
Yeah, today on Sit and Spin. Yeah, it's beautiful, isn't it?
Don't rub it in, people. Don't rub it in. He knows you don't like it.
Easy enough to at least say on my behalf, and I believe yours, that one of the more quintessential albums in our lifetime that has come out during our lifetime would have to be Guns N' Roses' Appetite for Destruction.
Without a doubt. Yep. Without a freaking
doubt. Top to bottom, one of the greatest albums, you know, at least in our lifetime. That's for sure. And with that, the fine folks at Spin Magazine, and we talk about this all the time, the fact that one thing we know about the pretentiousness of music journalism is that when it gets to magazine form, it becomes harsh, it becomes angry, it becomes highfalutin, stuffy.
But it seems so pretentious. Things.
But I want you to understand.
Even when you agree with them, if you hate agreeing with them because they sound like such turds.
The level of pretension on this is unbelievable. I will spare you the details from Spin Magazine, but they do say that the worst thing that came out of Guns N' Roses' Appetite for Destruction, any idea?
I don't know.
The band Buck Cherry. So, like, right out, of the gate, they just start slamming people.
Yeah.
And although Appetite for Destruction was 33 years old,
the other albums.
Yeah. as of 2020, this is a list put together by Spin Magazine. Mm-hmm. All right? The worst Appetite for Destruction covers. And there are 10 of these.
Number 10.
Miles Kennedy?
It is Miles Kennedy.
No one else sounds
Sorry.
Like it.
Again? I love his voice.
Me too.
So I'm taking it.
And this is Spin Magazine again, and the writer says, you are an altar bridge and you are not Axl Rose. Miles Kennedy doing Rocket Queen from a iTunes session in 2010, which is actually, I listened to it, pretty good rendition
of the
song.
He's got Slash with him.
He's got Slash, but look, he knows he's not Axl Rose, but if Slash asked me to sing Dixie, I'm probably going to sing Dixie, right?
I mean, yeah, probably.
And this is the guy's voice.
That'd be weird if Slash actually.
It would be.
For both of you.
I don't know what it is, Thrill. Come on, man. I'm playing guitar. Let's sing Dixie.
These are the worst Appetite for Destruction covers, according to Spin.com on Sin & Spin.
Number 9.
Have they heard the song before they covered it?
Ted, you know who this is?
What's her name? I forget. It's not Alanis Morissette. She was like drinking during the day.
Oh, Sheryl Crow?
Sheryl Crow.
This is Sheryl Crow.
That's
from the
why
Big
it's terrible.
Daddy soundtrack, 1999.
Yeah, she's
according
awful.
To Spin.
That movie
so
sucked too.
Many unworthy contenders for this slot, but to record a truly terrible cover of a classic song requires more than mere incompetence. A point lost on some people like Sheryl Crow. What's most disturbing about this version is that rather than seeming to domesticate GNR, Crow makes it sound like she's ever so mildly rocking up a song by Lone Star or some other lousy country balladeer. Again, spin.com. The worst Appetite for Destruction covers on Sit and Spin.
Eight, number eight.
Ooh, it was the last time I can remember.
I feel uncomfortable.
Ah.
This is Miles' doorbell.
I like it. Do we know this band?
This is Iron Horse.
All right.
They are a bluegrass tribute band.
I'm sorry. I love a banjo.
This comes from 2007, and Iron Horse is the bluegrass tribute to Guns N' Roses. Again, the text from Spin. Imagine you had a friend who, whenever he walked into a room, was like, these walls would look so much better painted beige. That's what some bluegrass fans must be like.
What color is beige anyhow?
Like tan-ish.
Yeah,
Spin Magazine.
Gracious.
And the worst Appetite for Destruction covers on Sin Spin.
Seven, number seven.
This is your 13-year-old neighbor's garage band.
This is AFI from 2000 from Bungo's Metal. According to Spin Magazine, going through their horror rock growing pains, a young AFI put in a performance that's as stiff as a course.
number six.
Three-year-old kid or something.
Any idea who this is?
Is that like Vince Neil
from the Rock of Ages soundtrack in 2012? Ladies and gentlemen, that's Tom Cruise.
Oh,
Tom Cruise.
Say what?
Tom Cruise doing Paradise City, Rock of Ages.
That was a movie
for
children.
Because it is Tom Cruise, I'll give him. It's awful, but I give him credit.
These are the worst Appetite for Destruction covers on Sin Smith.
Five, number five.
Probably don't know who this is. This is Kelly Löfström. He was the fourth place finisher on Finland's American Idol, or Finland Idol.
Probably Finland Idol.
Where he presumably he was the Baltic answer to Darty at the time.
sounds like a guy from a drama class.
But how's this kind of voice going on?
Yeah.
Leave on dancing.
From Spin Magazine and Spin.com, these are the worst Appetite for Destruction covers, and we made it to number four.
Four, number four.
Dead. That's our good buddy Lizzie Hale there and the guys in Hailstorm.
Oh.
Out to Get Me from an album of covers in 2011. Here is how Spin spins this one. So clean and overproduced, it comes to be a heavy metal high school musical outtake. You'd think Pennsylvania retro maniac Hailstorm would be more at home with this than, say, a Lady Gaga song. Oh. It's not a bad song at all. It's actually a pretty good cover. These are the worst Appetite for Destruction covers, according to Spin and Spin.
Three.
A garage band with a one drunk friend.
This is a band called Break the Silence from Bring You to Your Knees, a tribute to Guns N' Roses. This is the guitarist from Rise Against. And a lot of these tunes on here, they say, even the growly voice, Winterkorn, switches to mid-chorus as he belts out the song title is less Cookie Monster than Grover. As decadent as a half-empty bottle of Flat Zima. These are the worst Appetite for Destruction covers on Sit and Spin.
Two, number two.
This is Natalie Renault and DJ Lau. It's So Easy from Vintage Cafe Essentials in 2011. According to Spin, a drunk driving anthem gets the chill out treatment. Nothing fakes class more than expediently than a millimeter deep groove and a girly Euro coup. And in keeping with the genteel mood, as she omits bitch. My God. Worst Appetite for Destruction covers on Sit and Spin. According to Spin.com, we made it to number one. This is the band known as Big Daddy from their album From Cutting Their Own Groove in 1992. They are somewhat Hamster Love, somewhat Al, Weird Al, Girl Talk, and Sha Na Na. The Lion Sleeps Tonight mixed with Welcome to the Jungle. There you go on number one.
That is interesting.
The worst Appetite for Destruction covers of all time, according to Spin.com. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Hola, bitchola. You have entered the men's room.
Come in 3 minutes. We'll drink a toast with a shallow day, but first.
And now. The Men's Room presents Men's Room Rules.
The playlist of rules is available at mensroomlive.com, and they're all in there in nice little categories. You can check them out, including some situational rules, such as, let's see here, when using an elevator, allow people to get off the elevator before you get yourself on.
Yes.
Corey in British Columbia. Guys, if you buy a ticket for an event, sit in the seat that you bought. Drivers should absolutely not allow their dogs or any other type of pet on their or animal to occupy their lap while driving.
Those are a few that are on there right now.
It's a shame we even have to say that.
No man should ask a woman if she's pregnant. There are a bunch of those on there.
Just
where
don't.
It shouldn't need to be stated, but it is. This comes our way from Aaron. He's got a couple rules. He says a couple of animal ones for you. No man shall ever give commands to another man's dog when the owner is in present company.
Well, it depends on the situation.
If taking care of the dog, of course, your commands are acceptable. But he says no man should give another dog commands if it's not his dog.
No. I mean, listen, man. If, it's like, if you need to sit down, sit. Like, you're not trying to take over, but it's situational with the dog.
Right. If the dog is misbehaving, like, get down. Stop.
With kids.
I did this past weekend. There's just a lot of people there. The dog was acting crazy. Somebody had to settle the dog down.
Right.
So you took care of it.
Yeah.
Pet Solutions.
Pet Solutions.
Yeah, heck yeah.
Dog's still here.
No man shall ever talk to a cat in a baby language, saying such as, who's the pretty kitty?
Oh, God.
Shouldn't even be said in a soundproof booth, ever.
Boof.
Boof. That from Aaron.
Yeah.
Aye. Nay.
Yeah. I was talking in a little baby voice today earlier.
Okay. Well, yeah, but you were talking to a baby.
Yeah, but the baby understood. That was the weird thing.
Yes, he did.
If you have a potential rule that you'd like to send our way, just shoot us an email to the men's room at mensroomlive.com. All right, Wobbin, have we made it to drinking time?
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the men's room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor. You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Drink time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk and Steve at Thrill Hill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed, and I apologize for the story in advance. But today we toast 44-year-old, oh boy, Kritsada Ratprachum of Udon Thani, Thailand. I'm sure I said all of that wrong, except for Thailand. He was having an ordinary day, dropped his kid off at school. He's a freelance photographer, so he goes back home, which is where he works out of. And, you know, like any normal human being, he had to take a number two. So he did. And as he says, he said, I just felt like I wasn't finished defecating, like something was left. So I got up to see what it was. Turns out there was something sticking out of his bottom. Now, the weeks prior, he underwent an appendix surgery, so initially, he just presumed it was a piece of string or something like that left over from the surgery. However, when he started to pull at the dangling thread, he realized it was sticky and stretchy. It was not a piece of string. It was a tapeworm. Tapeworms are flat, ribbon-like worms that can live in your gut if you swallow their eggs or small, newly hatched worms. They go on to say, it was 32 feet long.
32 feet? He just kept pulling?
He removed it all himself.
Like a clown scarf?
32.
Wow.
Yes. Sorry. So we pour this booze and we drink this booze because we think it's yummy.
Yummy.
So over the tongue and down the throat to party in our tummies.
Down the hola, bitchola. Let's get a contestant live from Profile. This will take caller 9 now at 844-999-HOLA.
Hola. The shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.